The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." And he went through Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. A leper came to him, begging him. And kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." He moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country. And people came to him from every quarter. The Gospel of the Lord.
Did. So we heard all this gospel text about all these different healings, and in those healings, a couple of things that I think are important for us to hear and remember. First of all, the crowds come, you know, they always come searching for him. And even in this case, the disciples kind of got it wrong. At one point in the reading, they come and they say, "Jesus, what's going on? Everybody's looking for you. Why don't you go out and heal? Keep on healing them?" In all of these stories, the point of these healings is not just to heal from whatever one sickness that each person has, but to restore each person. You know, leprosy, it was one of those that needed the healing was a leper. And leprosy was one of those diseases that was known to keep people away. They weren't allowed to live in community. They weren't allowed to do all the things that people do to be able to connect to others and to God. And so the point of all these healings that Jesus is trying to make is to restore people into relationship with God. And one other point of what we hear in this progression of these, of what Jesus is doing, you may have noticed if you were with us in worship last week, Jesus did a healing last week too. It was in the synagogue. And then at the beginning of this text, we find Jesus doing a healing in a home. And then as it keeps going on, Jesus is out in the communities, out in the world. And I think this is part of the progression of restoration, of healing, of faith in our world that we're called to do as well. We're not called just to be here in worship and get it all for ourselves and isn't that great, but then we're called to go from this place out into our homes so that our homes would be restored. And then from our homes out into the community so that all the community would know the love of God in Jesus Christ and be restored. And that's, I just wanted to share that with you before we get to hear these words from three different students in campus ministry, because that's a little bit of what campus ministry is about. These young adults have gone from their homes in many cases, and they're out in the world and in the community. And they're both receiving this ministry of restoration, and they're part of it. They're giving it. So as you hear them share words of resiliency, as Maddie said, I invite you to give thanks for this ministry of campus ministry. We're going to hear from three students. You'll see their names on the screen and a little bit about them. Nicole Stevenson, who's a third-year student, Katie Newland, a first-year student, and you just heard at the beginning of worship from Ashley Procannon, who's going to be graduating this spring. So congratulations to you, Ashley. So now I'm just going to turn it over to them. The first two are actually speaking about a different text, because this is a word that's being shared with a number of different congregations who may have heard different texts in their worship this morning. And yet, I think you're going to hear the same message, this message of resiliency, of restoration, of community, and of love.
Welcome to Lutheran Campus Ministry at CSU. I'd like to thank you again for letting us preach this Campus Ministry Sunday. My name is Nicole Stevenson, and I am the community minister here at Lumen. My job is to work with students and build those relationships and help keep this organization student run. Grace and peace to you all. God calls us to be whole. God calls us to be whole in body, mind, and spirit. But let's take a step back. What does it mean to be whole? What does it mean to be complete in body, mind, and soul? We see examples time and time again of God healing the sick and casting out the demons of the tormented. In Mark 1, Jesus heals a leper. In Luke 7, Jesus heals a slave of a Roman official without even going to see him. God walks with us every day, reminding us that we are made whole through God's love. Our whole self, our mind, our body, and our soul are filled with God's love. God makes us whole. Now, we don't always feel complete, especially during times of suffering, especially during times of a pandemic. We see the loss, the holes left by loved ones, the holes left by isolation, the holes left by giving up something we love and hold dear. We see that we are lacking. I myself, as a student in college during a pandemic, focus on the loneliness. Focus on feeling that I am incomplete, that I am lacking. If I could go outside, I would feel whole. If I could see friends, I would feel whole. If I could just get that grade I want, I could feel whole. Time and time again, I go outside and I take a walk. I see friends at a distance and I finally get that grade I really want, and I still don't feel complete. We have to trust in God and trust in God's love, because this love has already made us whole and filled the holes in our lives. When we focus on our ideas of wholeness, we miss that God has already given us what we need. God's love holds us together and heals us so that we are made strong and empowered. And in doing so, God makes us resilient. So that when we are facing the storms in our lives, we do not just weather those storms, but we come out stronger and sure-footed because we have been made whole.
Hi, I'm Katie Newland, and I'm the Congregational Ambassador here at Lutheran Campus Ministry in Colorado. About a week ago, I was looking over Mark chapter 1, and I was prepared to really see the classic Jesus going around Galilee, helping people, lifting them up and sharing the good news, healing and sharing miracles. However, I wasn't really prepared for this one line. It hadn't stuck out to me before. And Jesus would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Wow, Jesus knew the demons and they knew him. Jesus knows our sin, yet doesn't let it speak. I catch myself thinking, how could anyone know everyone's sin, know everyone's troubles, all their wrongdoing, their selfishness, their hurt, yet look past that as if we're all clean and pure? Jesus does not let our wrongdoings speak, but forgives them and finds others who have maybe experienced the same things to walk alongside him. This is great and all. I love having the feeling that our sins are forgiven, but what about those afflictions that we don't find to be sinful? Maybe we don't need to be forgiven for, but are still really tough. What about things like mental illness? What about sickness? COVID, for example. We've all felt that. What about heartbreak and job loss? There's so much more. What about these things that we can't control in our lives? And sometimes it feels like, is God listening? These things are not to be forgiven, but they're still very present. How can we move on and be excited like these people in Galilee who Jesus performed miracles for? Where are our healers? Where are our healers for our sickness? I'm currently a first-year student here at CSU in the Natural Resources Department, really loving it, embracing the tree-hugging lifestyle. And recently, in one of my sociology classes, we were talking about this really neat architect who had recently been fired from his job, and he got some of his architect friends who were also let go. And they did something pretty awesome, pretty radical. They took a bunch of broken bottles, old tires they found on their local freeway, discarded pieces of trash, even shingles from their roof, and built these strong, resilient homes in areas of the world where disaster had struck, such as after the 2004 India earthquake and tsunami. All these items made spacious, strong structures, but they weren't made out of the normal materials. These materials were weathered. Yet, they supplied these families with water, stoves, even plumbing, all under one roof. That's pretty awesome. Everyone has been broken before. Everyone is weathered in one way or another, just like these bottles and tires that the architects used when building these structures. Even Jesus on the cross was vulnerable. He was weathered. While we know that Jesus endured so much for our love and to show forgiveness, how can we, as weathered people, be resilient today? I like to think about how Jesus didn't go around choosing the pure and mighty ones, or in this case, the new and shiny equipment. No, Jesus found followers in the broken, in the rugged, and in the weathered. You see, no matter what walk of life we have taken to be where we are today, we're all broken bottles in one way or another. We're still treasured by God. We're still wanted, and we are definitely still needed. And what else is awesome? Broken pieces of what can sometimes feel like trash in our lives can build a large, resilient home, a shelter for people, a shelter for everyone on earth. We all have different pains, and that gives us a gift to possibly understand what someone else may be going through. And that brings us closer to each other. We're able to foster a love of God here on earth. For if we're all to bring peace, we must be able to empathize with each other and recognize each other's pain. We know that Jesus rose on the third day. This is yet another reminder that we can rise from our hardships and see strength in each other. Jesus does not let the demons speak in our lives. He gives our voices the space to share God's love.
My grandparents lived through World War I, Prohibition, the Depression, World War II, learned English, and that was it, world peace. Oh, if only it was that easy. I was born in May of 1998. I'll be 23 this year. In 1998, the Senate voted to impeach President Clinton. In 1999, the tragedy at Columbine High School occurred. 2000, democracy is disputed over the ballot results between Al Gore and Bush. 2001, terrorism strikes home. 2002, we declare war and homeland security is created, forever changing how we travel. 2003, the space shuttle Columbia explodes and 7 astronauts don't make it home. 2005, Hurricane Katrina. 2007, the deadliest shooting rampage in American history at Virginia Tech. 2008, the economy crashes. 2009, swine flu and Fort Hood shootings. 2010, one of the largest oil spills in global history. 2012, Hurricane Sandy, coming in second costliest in history behind Katrina. 2012 also brought the loss of so many children at Sandy Hook Elementary. 2020 brought the COVID-19 pandemic, a global pandemic. And 2021 has already seen the Capitol being stormed, the denial of the validity of government leaders, a potential collapse of the free market system. You have to ask yourself, what's next? History is hard to understand, harder sometimes to remember. And oftentimes we memorialize the tragedies, to grieve, to commemorate heroes, to swear never again. Thinking of the past sometimes makes me feel alone. It makes me feel like my struggles, my family's struggles, are one small blip on the world scheme that no one notices. It makes me doubt my faith that God will provide when all that surrounds us is uncertainty. Isaiah 40 is an interesting and beautiful passage, and I love the Old Testament. Today, theologians still aren't sure who exactly is speaking to the people. Was it some prophet? Was it God directly? Was it just a fellow peer? The passage begins with how it ends, in challenge and a reminder. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, and not one is missing. The picture the verses paint is a picture of community, a picture of people together that can't remember God and grace because all they see is war and devastation. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. The picture these verses paint is a picture of promise, the promise that God gives us every day. Jesus was a pioneer of resilience. Mark and Luke speak of a Jesus that was controversial, acting outside of the social norm, and Jesus sparked community everywhere he went. People couldn't keep quiet about the miracles they had witnessed. The very definition of resilience is as controversial can be. The power and strength that God gives us to carry on and still find grace despite the world seeming as though it's falling apart is a contradiction. And we do it every day. There is strength in vulnerability, and God calls us to be both sides of the coin, resilient and vulnerable, whole and broken. This past year, I have been finishing up my last semesters here at CSU and serving as the community ambassador at Lutheran Campus Ministry. In May, I graduate in the midst of uncertainty, something I share with so many other graduates, as well as so many who came before me, who had to overcome adversity. 4 years ago, I came out here with no community, no family, and took a risk to find a church community that I could call my own. I was welcomed in immediately and have learned and grown so much over the course of a few years. This past year, I was faced with a global pandemic, so afraid of seeing or talking to anyone in case I got them sick. I felt more disconnected than I had ever been before, and the community at Lumen reached out and reminded me that I wasn't alone, that we were still here, that we were a ministry of resilience. They reminded me that my identity remains as a child of God, even when the world feels like it's challenging everything I know and understand. As I've said the last four campus ministry Sundays I've had the privilege of participating in, we are so, so grateful for your church's contributions and support. Lumen is but a small part of our larger community that would not be possible without you all. This past year looked a little different, and I know I've really missed worshiping with your congregations on Sunday evenings, sitting with your members, sharing meals here in our rather empty chapel, and sharing meals that your church has brought us, being in relationship with our larger community. We are resurrection people, and we know that every challenge we face with God walking with us. We will be those who wait and pray for the Lord to renew our strength. We shall mount up with wings like eagles, and we shall run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. We face today with resilience, knowing that the peace of the Lord is already known to us. In this, we can have faith. Amen.